I want to start by thanking, well, looky here, our friend Lynn Pham.
Hey, I know Lynn.
Of Beaverton, Oregon. Lynn says, I don't have a specific message, but I would like Luke and Andrew to plug my Wait Wait stats page, which is at www.dt.me. Now, I don't think there are very many regular listeners of this show who do not know the legend of one Lynn Pham. Sort of archivist of all things TBTL audio and also the keeper of the stats at Wait Wait Don't Tell Me. He is such a legend that he has been shouted out by none other than Paula Poundstone on Colbert.
Oh, that's right. It was on Colbert.
I don't want to take the shine off of being the dazzling donor today, Lynn, but I'm just going to say that's probably the top of the mountain.
right.
Paula Poundstone name-checking you on friggin' Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
But if you have any... If you're a fan of the radio show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and you ever have a question or just a curiosity about some statistical thing, who's won the most episodes, who, et cetera, I mean, there is no statistical detail that Lynn has not carefully tracked, and it's all over at www.dt.me.
Do you want me to look at your stats here? I'm looking for it.
No, I don't. No. I'm bad at it. I'm very
bad. Steer clear.
I feel like I've actually... The last few times, I think I might have won a couple times recently, but I wasn't funny. That's the problem. I used to be funny and I would lose, and now I'm unfunny, but I win.
I'm
making
gambit.
That transition. I'm about to cross that rainbow bridge.
How many shows do you think you've been on? I'm looking at your stats page. Regular shows have you been on? Oh, it's interesting here. It says regular shows and all shows. I'm going to assume that maybe all shows might include reruns. And
or also maybe, well, I bet, I wonder, do you think all shows means pre-pandemic? Are they divided up? I'm not at the Wait Wait page because I am over at Marsupial Gurgle, which is the other thing I want to mention. But I do want to bask in the statistical glow of what I have accomplished on Wait Wait Don't Tell Me. So please don't leave that page, Andrew.
Okay.
But also I do want to mention Marsupial Gurgle, which is where Lynn has collected audio drops of me and Andrew. Up to, here's yesterday's show, episode 36, 38, March 13th. Wait a second, but that's a different, am I off with my numbers? I know Lynn's not off with his numbers.
There's no way. Let's see, what show are we on today?
I have it 3640 today, but Lynn has yesterday's show as 3638, which would make today's 3639.
What date does he have? This is such a good dazzling donor message. What?
No. It was 2 days ago.
You. Yeah, okay.
Two
the
days
11th
ago.
Was 3638. Okay. This is no, us.
We're good.
We talked about Shrek a lot, I believe, on that.
Everybody's
episode.
Good. Yep. Everything's fine.
That was Friday.
Anyway.
Okay.
So I want to play a couple things off Marsupial Gurgle in a moment here, but does it indicate if when he says normal shows?
I can't figure out exactly what the difference is, but it does say shows with scores in regular shows, and those numbers are very similar. So I think all shows might be like various specials, maybe.
Sure,
that
they
you've
do.
Done
they do.
Certainly,
there are many times where they will do a clip show,
mm-hmm.
And then they will reuse some content. And you know, somebody like I might pop up on one of those shows because I played a game that they're using. So that probably regular shows. Means just like normal appearances that are not part mm-hmm. of a clip show. And I am guessing it might be like 50?
84.
Whoa, that's higher than I would have thought.
Yeah, 84. When do you think your very first show was?
I remember it clearly, but I don't remember the date. But I remember I was...
Give me a year. Or give me a season. You can probably put yourself into a season.
I feel like the season would have been... The winter.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes. Here's how the very first time I was on that show, what happened was I had been tapped to host that show in New York, the Bryant Park Project, and the higher-ups at NPR were trying to figure out a way to draw some attention to that thing. And so they had the idea to have me fill in as host of that show. And so, but before, and that was going to happen that summer because Peter Sagal had some scheduled, I think he was either writing a book or promoting a book or doing something.
Or writing so, Havana Nights, Dirty Dancing
3.
2, Havana Nights
3. I forgot to, if we're just going to delve if we're just going to sink deep, deep into the minutiae of my life and things that are funny to me or interesting to me, let me just permit me this for 2 minutes. So, yes, Peter Sagal famously wrote the movie that he wrote a movie script that became the movie Dirty Dancing 2 Havana Nights. And we were out the last time I was in Chicago, which was we did the show in front of a real crowd, like humans were there and we were on stage. This was in like December or something. And one of the other folks on the panel was the very funny Cristela Alonso, who's a stand-up and television personality and lovely human being all around. And we went out to get a bite afterwards. It was me and Becca and Peter Sagal and Cristela Alonso. And at some point, I just said in passing, I said, well, like it's like writing, you know, Dirty Dancing 2 Havana Nights. And Peter said, haha, yeah, that is. And Cristela Alonso literally fell out of her seat, fell out of her seat and started laughing uproariously because she apparently has this long running. Well, she has a friend who's obsessed not only with that movie, but with the story of how that movie ended up so different from what Peter had written. So she was highly aware of the fact that the movie Dirty Dancing or Havana Nights, Dirty Dancing 2, whatever it's exactly called. It's like if you and I, Andrew, just had some sort of like thing we always reference to each other.
Sure. We don't have anything like that. But if we did.
It's turning into the OJ book, if we did it.
But if like, we had inside jokes.
If we had inside jokes that we talked about 5 days a week and then later showed up on Marsupial Gurgle. But basically what happened was Cristela's mind was so unicorn exploded over the fact that it was in fact Peter who was the person who had done this thing that she had obsessed over. Like she wanted to do an entire stage show about this movie.
That's
about the story behind
idea.
This, you know, the story behind how this thing ended up becoming this movie. And like, so she, it's like something, she started texting this friend of hers and like FaceTiming with them. Basically, I'm not kidding. She laughed continuously for the next 40 minutes.
Hold on. I need to interrupt for 1 second for a point of clarity. So she knew all of the details of this ridiculous story.
Yes.
But she didn't quite place it that it was Peter Sagal, the man that she was sitting down with.
Yes.
For after
I think
show
there
drinks.
I believe there was a This American Life episode that this was featured in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This story, the story of Havana, of Dirty Dancing 2.
Yeah.
So I think her friend had heard it or she had heard it, and it had become this thing that they talked about incessantly. But she did not realize that the person she was sitting with
was great.
The person that the story had really happened to.
And how did he respond?
She was uncontrollably laughing for the rest of the meal. Like at some point, Beck and I were like, we got to go home because now we're worried for you, Cristela, because you're like having a laughing fit like unlike I've ever seen in my life.
How did Peter react?
With grace and then elaborated. The story was actually very interesting. And I guess if I'm thinking of the right thing, if it's This American Life thing, he probably explains it there too. But I mean, what basically happened was he was really interested in Cuba and wrote, I mean, he was an aspiring screenwriter, and he wrote this kind of coming of age story about, I think it might be an American, a young American woman whose parents are maybe diplomats or something, and she falls in love with a young Cuban man. And it was a fairly complicated, you know, but hopefully Hollywood friendly story. That was did the classic thing where it was like it was bought, somebody bought it and never made it, and then it was sitting on a shelf somewhere, and I'm forgetting some of these details, but basically it was just like it wasn't going anywhere. It was sort of a dead project. And then for some weird contractual reasons, or because they liked, basically they took the script and they made it Dirty Dancing 2, but they basically kept the idea that there's a young woman involved. Like it would also be a movie that has a young woman in it. And for that reason, they had to still credit Peter as the screenwriter or as a story, like the person who, you know, story by Peter Sagal.
And about what era did he write this? Like back in the early 2000s, maybe, or earlier?
I bet it was earlier than that, yeah. Because he was probably hosting Wait, Wait by then.
No, you're right.
So this would have been probably in the 90s. And I mean, he's that guy. We should just have him back on the show because he's got a million great stories from his time in L.A. You know, he was cast in the Michael Jackson video for Remember the Time, But the, Michael Jackson was so late to the shoot that they never shot the scene. They had Peter in full makeup. I don't think he was. Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay. I don't think he was like starring in it or anything, right, but he was just going to be something in it. He was in full makeup, ready to go, but the shoot was so bloated and took so long that they just literally never shot the part of the video that he was going to be in.
Oh my God. Yeah, that that video is so bloated.
Like Eddie Murphy's in it, I think. Eddie Murphy's in it,
and a very famous woman is in it as well.
Iman, maybe?
Might be Iman. Anyway. Huh. I don't know if I knew that or if so, I'd blanked that part out. I'd so love that
took
that.
Longer than
ever,
2 minutes.
I don't think I've ever talked to him before. I'd like to have him on the show if you could swing
He's
it,
great.
Call in some favors.
He's, actually, you know, he was just, Peter is a total mensch. I mean, we could get him on TBTL, I would imagine, with a phone call
later
or a
today.
Text message. Yeah. In fact, right. And you know what? Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Peter Sagal. He's been on hold this whole time. Okay.
This
sorry.
Is
that
your
was
life.
A, so that was anyway, the first time I was on the show on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me was because they were trying to. Well, they wanted me to host it, fill in for Peter, but they wanted me to be a little bit familiar with how the show worked. Like they wanted me to have some experience with the program. So they put me on as a panelist. First. So I think I was a panelist maybe like twice before I actually hosted it. And I can tell you, I remember being on that, you know, being at that table. I think I might have been sitting next to Paula, like the first show I did, it might have been also with Paula Poundstone. And I was so scared. I might have said three words because I had no idea the mechanics of that show. And I remember kind of not really getting what Paula was doing because I was thinking, if we talk too much, it's going to be a nightmare to edit later. But what she was doing very wisely, as one of the best people on that show, was just kind of creating a bunch of stuff. First of all, making it hard to cut her out because it was like she's like so funny, and also she'd refer back to things. So then, if they wanted to keep the callback, they had to have the original. And she was just being so entertaining. I was doing these surgical strikes where this joke probably didn't exist, but it was basically versions of "That's what she said." Like, not that they were sexual jokes, but that they were just like little one-liners.
It was when you said "my wife" that the crowd went crazy in the Chase Auditorium.
That one actually, I said it. The crowd went crazy, but they cut it out for reasons I still don't understand. But I was just kind of sitting there, totally stunned, totally overwhelmed. Occasionally going like, "Boy, that's a spicy meatball."
Is that on Marsupial Gurgle? Because that was a classic line. You won that show.
The first one I did?
15 points, it looks like here. And then Mo and Paula each got 10. Ah, the date, which you never really guessed at, was July 1st, 2006.
Oh, okay, not the winter.
So it wasn't winter, it was summertime. July 1st, 2006, you did win. You also, makes sense maybe because you were new, looks like you had the real Bluff the Listener story, the non-fake one, and it looks like they chose you correctly, whoever the guest was
caller
there.
Was.
The caller. The guest, do you remember who the guest was on that show, the celebrity guest? I'll bet you do.
I don't. Who was it?
It was Gwen Ifill. Rest in peace.
Gwen
Ifill,
R.I.P.
Very, very, yeah. I'm a big fan.
I really, honestly now, I'm going to go to Lynn's Wait Stats page and look at some of this data on me.
Because it's interesting.
Mostly it's a trip down memory lane. Like I can, when you say Gwen Ifill, I'm like, okay, yeah, I totally remember that. Like that really jogs my memory.
Whatever bluff you had was about new safety devices. I doubt you remember that. That's very specific. And there's a lot of Superman joking around. There must have been a Superman movie coming out around this time.
Oh.
Because there was a Not My Job about Superman. The panelist predictions was who will be the villain in the next Superman movie. I think you said a spicy meatball, which everybody was a little bit confused about.
That's a spicy meatball.
Anyway.
I won, too. It's funny. So I'm going back to my roots now, which is I'm being less funny, but I'm winning more.
Yeah.
That's how it all started for me.
It's full circle. It's
just deer in the headlights, just sitting there nervously, but then, you know, probably getting some things right because I'm like totally focused on the information. I probably studied, you know what I mean? I was probably like so hardcore going into that episode trying to, you know, do an okay job.
Anyway, thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Lynn. We really appreciate you. And because I'm over at the Marsupial Gurgle page, why don't we just grab a few? Let's see here.
This is making me sweat. I don't like this.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what the
Please
best...
Please have a drop of one
what
of
I would say, Andrew.
Get it together!
That's what I would say to you, my friend. Uh-huh. See, I started with me because I know you don't want to hear yourself.
Uh-huh.
But, so I wanted to kind of like ease you into it. Andrew, let's hear what this one sounds like.
Murder! Oh, that's not so bad. That's not so bad.
That's pretty good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going way back, my friend. I'm going to go to, I'm trying to try to jump back, I don't know, 373 pages. Ooh, episode 1772 in a collector's series, April 7th of 2015. What do you think we were doing then? Things like
April
this?
April 7th.
Yay, nay, or Hodor.
What Whoa. Is that?
That is my friend Andrew. That is you. That is a much younger Andrew.
Do I sound young? Well, I definitely sound distorted.
You sound so
there.
Young. Okay, listen, here's me saying, well, let's listen to my voice.
Not right now. This is TBTL time.
I sound exactly like I sound today, like I have a cold.
How about this one that I found? No joke. Let's take a listen to this.
Oh, Scratch and sniff meatball. Snickers. Scratch and sniff stickers.
Sorry.
Oh, that's a spicy meatball.
Oh, yeah. That one's from the show before this one. Let's see. What is this? Here we go.
Okay, we're doing this. And I don't, you know, anything.
Okay, I was definitely in 2015. I would have been maybe in Port Townsend at the time. Because listen to how much echo is on my voice because I used to do the show in GarageBand.
Uh-huh.
And yes, listeners, we did it. We got to somehow a more specific place in this conversation. Including GarageBand putting echo on things or compression or whatever it is.
That's like, okay, we're doing this.
I'm really sorry about that. I was not trying to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Remember this, Andrew?
Yes, we played this recently.
I am dead serious that was an accident. I had something in queue, and then it went through the speakers. Moment. I'm sorry.
Was that a dog?
How did that? I literally just went back to the furthest page I could find and then was just scrolling. That was complete and total serendipity.
Here, I want to play. I just have a whole bunch of meatball stuff here. Let me play this one. This is me. Sure. I don't know who's chopping up meatballs in the hot bar and then leaving a half a meatball, but that's what I was confronted with. I have no idea what I'm talking about there, but I can hear the indignation in my voice, and I stand by it. I don't even know what this is in reference to.
I don't know who's chopping up meatballs in the hot bar and then leaving a half a meatball, but that's what I was confronted with. You can tell I was on a real rant.
Well, can you hear how much fun we're having over at Marsupial Gurgle? If you'd like to have this level of fun, if not more, head on over there. And also check out the Wait Stats page. And thank you, Lynn, for being such a big part of TBTL and Wait.
You're
really
the gat.
Appreciate you. Yeah, you are. Good at the, parenthetically, sports.